on hike. Today's date is April 12th, 1974. The time is 11:30. I will be interviewing Calvin A. Campbell of Midland, Michigan. The topics of our discussion are history of Saginaw Valley and of Dow Chemical Company. Mr. Campbell, what size of family did you come from, and whereabouts were you born and raised?
Well, I was born in Bay City, Michigan, and end of 1902. I was the only child in the family, stayed in Bay City until I was about 7 years old, and then moved up to a little town of Indian River, Michigan, in the northern part of the Lower Peninsula. And that was my home from then on.
Your father was a senator for a few years. Was most of his life involved in politics?
No, as a matter of fact, my father only became involved in politics in later life. He started a stone quarry at near Indian River. That's why we moved up there, and he was operated and owned the stone quarry there, high calcium limestone. And then when he was about a little less than 60, he got into politics and was elected to the state legislature as a senator from northern Michigan, and was reelected and was a senator when he died in 1933. It was an interesting thing. He was a Republican all his life, and the great Democratic landslide in 1932, he was one of the two Republican senators reelected. Maybe that's quite the same as what's happening these days. I don't know, Ron.
Okay. Is there anything special that you can recall from your boyhood about this area or its people or what you can, or anything else that you can tell us about? You probably don't remember too much. I didn't realize that you moved out when you were seven.
Yeah, I didn't remember hardly anything about the early Saginaw Valley area because I was pretty young when I moved up there and went to school in Indian River up to the 10th grade and then 11th grade in Sheboygan High School. And then, as you mentioned before we started, Ron, I then went to Ferris Institute and graduated from the 12th grade there.
Oh, that was like, is that one of those schools where you would come out as a teacher? Is that the way that was
well,
set up?
Well, they had, I forget what it was called, but anyway, it was the equivalent of going through high school if you wanted to. And the reason I left Sheboygan was I wanted to enter engineering in the university, and they didn't have trigonometry in Sheboygan, and they had it at Ferris, and you could go as fast as you wanted, and I went through in about 4 or 5 months of my 12th grade.
Oh, really?
Then I became a teacher because one of the teachers got sick in Indian River, and I taught for 2 months, and that was my first and final experience as a teacher, Ron.
Jeez, you must have been about 17, 18 years
guess
old
so,
then?
Yeah. Some of the students were bigger than I was.
That's when it's rough.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe you don't know the answer to this question, then. What were some of the primary industries of the Saginaw Valley before you went away to school? Do you recall anything about that?
Only from reading about it afterwards. Of course, the Dow Chemical Company had started here back before the turn of the century. And one interesting thing that I do remember about Midland was the fact that they required high calcium limestone, and that was the type of stone that my father had near Indian River. He built a lime plant to supply the Dow Chemical Company with high calcium limestone, lime, back completed in 1912, and unfortunately, although it was built to supply the Dow Chemical Company, and I can remember my father saying that Herbert H. Dow was up to Indian River. I don't remember any of this when they were building the plant up there. But unfortunately, the lime turned out to have a little manganese in it, which they were using the lime here to make bleach And of course, manganese turns pink, and the bleach was turned pink, so the lime from my father's quarry never worked out. That was my history of Dow Chemical Company before I came here.
Okay. Were there any special reasons why you decided to leave General Motors and come to the Midland area to go to work for Dow Chemical?
Well, after I got through the University of Michigan as a chemical engineer, I then went down to Cambridge, to MIT, and got a degree in business, and then entered the law school at Harvard, and got out of law school, and went with General Motors then for 7 years. And I happened to know Willard Dow off and on in school at Ann Arbor. And he came in 35, and he said, I mean, would you like to come to Midland as an attorney for the company? We're just starting a legal department, and that's how I came. Better offer as things are today.
You know, yeah,
guys,
of course.
Into the world of hockey or World Football League, a little more money and all that, it looked better. And I was the first attorney that was hired full time. That's how I came to Dow. That was in 35.
Okay. Had Midland changed any from the years that you had known it before? Had it grown a lot since then? Or was Dow just so small yet that it hadn't affected the area?
Well, Dow was getting big at that time. Although when I came in 35, I remember the sales were around $20 million a year. And that was pretty big sales at that time. Of course, they've gone astronomical since. But it was starting to get big.
Good. Did Willard Dow or anyone else ever tell you any stories about his father, Herbert Dow, or how the company got started?
Well, I don't remember any specific stories that he told me about it. I suppose you know the history of how it started with, so I won't repeat that, with Dr. Henry Dow at Case on his, as I recall, his thesis was on the production of bromine and then the brine up here, and he located it here. But I don't remember any specific instances that Willard Dow mentioned.
Okay. Do you happen to know when and how, this is a little different topic, when and how Midland became a dry county and why it was for so long? Wasn't Midland dry for many, many years?
I think so. When I came, it was dry here. Remained dry for a long time. I can remember one instance on the dryness. The country club was trying to get serve liquor in the club. And I know that we at Dow didn't think that was right. And the board of directors, one night at a meeting at the country club, most of the board lined up on one side of the table and the directors of the country club on the other side, and it debated back and forth whether they should serve liquor in the club. The board of directors were unanimously against it, and the directors of the country club wanted it. Well, you know the result. The directors of the country club won out. I think it was right that it was done that way. That was rather interesting to see on one side the board of directors lined up no, directors of the country club yes, and it was a very frank discussion, but the directors of the Dow company lost out on it.
I had heard stories about Midland being a dry county, and there were bars all around the edges of Midland County, but once you got right into Midland County, it was completely dry. And that's
I don't remember too much other than just what I told you about.
Okay. When Dow Chemical was having the trouble with the United States government on the tariff problem, what was going on and how was the problem solved?
Well, that was a long time before my time, if I recall, on the tariff problem. That was back in the 20s. I don't recall any particular tariff problem while I was here. This is all what somebody must have told me, because that was back in the 20s, I believe.
That could be. I was reading through a lot of the history of Dow, and I come across that And I thought you had something to do with the decision. Now, maybe this was some other decision that there was another big deal about, what was it, where you had to move all your stocks to another state in order to have something done in Midland. I can't remember it completely.
Ron, you've kind of got me there. Of course, I don't know whether you're referring or not to so-called bromine war with the Germans, which took place a long time before I came to Dow. That was where the Dow Company started to sell bromine abroad, and the German cartel arrangement then decided to move and sell into the United States bromine at a loss in order to make Dow quit doing it. And Dr. Herbert Dow said no, and that was a bromine war, and the Dow Company went out on it. But that was before my time. You may be referring to the magnesium incident, which we were indicted. I don't know whether you refer to that or not. That was about in the early 40s. Before
this would be about the right time, I think.
Yeah, that was when we were accused of being in league with the Germans on selling magnesium to them and also to the Japs. We were indicted on that thing. This was the start of World War II. I never felt that there was any merit into the thing, but we, at the time the government was having us build magnesium plants for the government, at the same time that we were under the indictment from the Department of Justice. I can recall that I was listening in on the telephone that Willard Dow had with the then Assistant Attorney General in charge of antitrust. Willard Dow says, wait until the end of the war, we'll fight the case, but let us get on with the building of the magnesium plants that the other branch of the government want. The Assistant Attorney General of the Department just said, no, and we took a NOLA contendere to keep the plants going and being built. But that was the unfortunate thing. It may have been referring to that, the tariff war, but it was a magnesium incident.
I see. When did Dow start moving out of the Midland area and the Bay City area? Now they have quite a large complex. Well, lots of places,
yes,
I guess.
I was in
Texas is quite
I
one of the biggest.
I was in on the early period of that, the first big operation that we had, we moved to Texas in the early 40s and built the plant down there at Freeport. That's when we started to move out of Midland and go elsewhere, the initial start. And that was the start of the Texas plant on the Gulf, in which we extracted bromine from the seawater and also magnesium from the seawater. That was the start of the Texas plant. And of course, magnesium in World War II was a very important thing because of the magnesium bombs that were made for the government. We negotiated and built a plant for the British government for making magnesium within the Dow plant at Freeport, produced for them as well as the rest of the Allied. We were the sole producer at that time in this country.
Talking about bombs, did you know anything about when they had the napalm bombs?
Yes, that was when I was...
I didn't even realize that Midland had anything to do with that.
Yes, well, the government asked us to sell the materials for that, the chemicals that went into it, and we did sell it at the direction of the U.S. government.
I see.
Just one of the ingredients that went into the so-called napalm bomb.
I see. So you didn't actually build the bombs, you
we
just
never built
supplied
the bombs,
them with,
yes, with one of the ingredients for that.
I see. Okay, I have lived in Midland for about 6 years. In this time, the city seems like it has really grown. It has spread out so far out by the area where I live. I live out by the Dow office buildings,
oh, yeah,
the big complex. It just seems like 6 years ago, that was all.
And let me go to the telephone.
Okay. Okay. I've lived here 6 years, and the city has really spread out a lot. Has the Dow Chemical Company of Midland, has that grown that much in the last 10 years?
Oh, yes, I think so. The Dow Company here at Midland has grown. Well, in the period, as I said, I came in 35, and I don't remember exactly the amount of the sales, but they were around 20 million. And when I left on retirement at the age of 65, the end of 1967, the sales were around a billion and a half. Now, the company here at Midland grew accordingly. They just grew everywhere.
Is Dow putting more emphasis on other states and other countries now, more than it did when, say, you first came to the area?
Well, it depends.
Are they just going where the resources are? Is that why? There's plants all over. Isn't there quite a big one in California also?
Oh, yes. That was during the period I was here in about 38 when we acquired the Great Western Electrochemical Company on a merger in California. That was when we first went out to California. It just seems that it's growing everywhere around, whether in Midland or not. The reason we went to Texas was the fact that there was a cheap source of energy there, coupled with the fact that the raw materials that we wanted were the magnesium and bromine in the seawater, and then, of course, the salt that we have to drill into the ground. It was a logical place for raw materials, coupled with cheap energy at the time in the form of natural gas. Now, by the same token, the cost of energy at Midland was greater from coal, but now I think that Midland, as I said when I left, the nuclear power plant here should now make the Midland division competitive with the rest of the Dow Chemical division. It's a question of where you can produce the power the cheapest.
Do you happen to recall anything about the beginning of Dow Corning? That was about the time that...
Yes, I was in on the original beginning of Dow Corning. The War Department at that time wanted one of the materials for high altitude airplanes, the silicone, to keep the engines running at high altitude. And they asked the Dow Chemical Company to form with Corning Glasswork to produce the material that would make it. So it was on account of, started originally on account of a desire and a requirement of the U.S. government for its high altitude airplanes.
And you went with
Corning Glass.
You combined with Corning Glass.
Yes.
Now, how did Corning Glass have any connection? It seems like it would be mostly Dow's development.
Well, I think that it was a natural marriage. Corning had researched on silicones. They were the part of the research side of the marriage. Dow had the chemical engineering know-how, so it was a natural marriage of a company that had the idea, Corning Glassworks, the know-how on chemical engineering to put that into a practical thing. It was a natural marriage, and it certainly worked out very well since.
Yeah, they seem to be doing quite well here.
They certainly are.
I worked this summer, or the beginning of this year, and I was working part-time at Design Craftsman. They build show exhibits and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And, Dow Corning is just putting out all kinds of advertising and building science museums and things like that. Must have just had a super year in the last couple of years.
Well, the interesting thing was at the time, of course, the law of the Sherman Act was a deterrent to companies joining together. And I can recall that we had an excellent background. If we were ever attacked by the Department of Justice on merging and forming a new company, it was at the instance of the United States government. Secretary of War Patterson, he wrote a letter saying, "We wish that you would do this." We always felt we had a good defense if they ever came after us, and they never did.
I see.
That was the start of Dow Corning.
That's about all the questions I have. Is there anything that that you can think of to add?
Well, I might add this. Just 25 years ago, on March 31st, 49, Brother Dow and I were going down to Cambridge. He was on the corporation board of MIT, and I was a graduate of MIT, and we were on our way down to here at Winston Churchill at the mid-century convocation. And he and his wife, and I and my wife, and the Dow plane with the two pilots, we were on our way down, and the plane cracked, and the plane iced up over London, Ontario. We tried to land, couldn't land, and then got out and dressed and were all killed instantly. It was rather coincidental, just 25 years ago.
Yeah, I had read about that, but I didn't.
I got out with a broken heel, and I guess it wasn't my time.
You had some burns too, didn't you?
Well, a little bad, but superficial, just a cracked heel. I don't know how I ever got a miracle, I guess. But then I started to fly right away again. I thought I was up close enough, and my time wasn't up. So.
Yeah, I guess that's the way it is too.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what more I can add to it, this thing here. We've got to keep going if there's anything more you want.
Well, I thought that was kind of interesting what you were saying about the lane here that you live on. What, Silk Stocking Lane?
Yeah.
Is there any story behind this, or?
I don't know. I never knew. But,
you just heard it.
I just heard that was what it was called. It was Park Drive, Silk Stocking Row. In those days, there were no nylon.
Alden Dow, the firm designed the school out there at Saginaw Valley College, Wicks Hall.
They
designed Wicks Hall. He probably designed all of the halls, didn't he? Do you know anything about this?
I think that he designed most of the buildings at Saginaw Valley. Alden Dow and I were in school together at Ann Arbor. He was, in fact, we were in the same fraternity. He was a couple years younger than I. So I knew him as well as Willard Dow before I came here. That's how I had to come here.
No.
Other than Ann Arbor.
Willard Dow, he was older than you, is that correct?
Yes. He was about 5 years older than I.
He wasn't in the same fraternity or anything like that.
Yes, he was, but he
all
wasn't.
All the Dows were in the same.
Yeah, Willard was not in the fraternity at the time I was. He was about 5 years ahead of my graduation. And then Alden was 2 years younger than I in the fraternity. That's how I am with one of the Dows. But there's also the other interesting thing that I mentioned first was my father building the line plant for the Dow Chemical Company.
Yeah, it's just kind of like your destiny to come to Dow.
I guess so, yeah. Worked out very happy ever since. I'm very glad I came.
Okay, thank you very much for
Fine.
This interview.
I think I should mention, Ron, the fact was that going back to this magnesium case where we were indicted by the government for restraint of trade in magnesium, selling to the Germans and the Japs. And at the same time, the government was asking us to build three magnesium plants. Willard Dow made the request to the Assistant Attorney General in charge of antitrust to postpone the case until after the war so we could get on with the building of the plants the government was putting up the money for. The Assistant Attorney General said, no, you've got to plead right away. So Willard Dow decided, well, if that's what it is, we'll plead nolo contendere and take a slap on the wrist. We wanted to try the case, but we couldn't build magnesium plants and try lawsuits at the same time. So the interesting thing was, shortly after the request that Willard Dow made to postpone the case, the government had a policy, and they did put into effect that all antitrust cases would be postponed till after the war.